What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Jerry Smith. Jerry is a CFP, a CFF, and the owner of Northern Way Wealth Management. We had an awesome conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. We talked about how to not let money be a limiting factor in your life and what happens when we allow it to be. We talked about the reality of self-talk and how there's a positive voice inside of us and a negative voice, and how to better tune out the negative one, focus on the positive, and the importance of living intentionally when it comes to our money. And then we closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Jerry, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
So two truths. First interesting thing about me is before I was a financial planner, I worked at the CIA. I own two lake homes and I play the guitar.
Okay. CIA, lake homes, and the guitar? Oh my goodness. Well, I know that you live in Wisconsin, so the lake home one is that's completely believable. The guitar, why not? I'm going to guess that you don't own two lake homes.
No, that's true.
Which one is the lie?
The CIA.
Ah, okay.
I actually had a whole thing made up on the CIA about, you know, that I was an operative, you know, operations officer and accidentally re-engineered a Ponzi scheme and caught a guy that was a dictator and his offshore accounts. And so I decided to make an honest living and help retirees instead. But I thought you'd catch on if I went that far with it.
Yeah. Well, you gave me just the right amount of detail to throw me off the scent. So if you were to redo life, would you in fact join the CIA, Jerry?
I would like to, and I actually had to look up, and I don't know if I would, but it's just a kind of a I always think it'd be pretty cool. And I had to actually look up the show called Madam Secretary because I watched the whole series back from 14 to 19. And one of my characters or actors in that was Henry McCord. And so I'm like, you know, when I was trying to make up this, hey, what's the lie that could be true but isn't actually, I was thinking about that. And so that's, you know, I like a lot of the CIA type of series and investigative stuff. So, yeah, I probably would do that maybe did it over a different life, things like that. I think it'd be pretty cool.
Alternative reality or timeline or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. And so you're a musical guy. So you enjoy playing guitar. How did that come to be?
Not very. I'm not very musical at all. I grew up singing in church and, you know, on Sundays out of the hymnal. But, you know, I think I might have had choir in middle school and just kind of picked up the guitar when I was 35. And I enjoy doing it, but it's kind of like work when you haven't done it before. But now playing for 7 or 8 years, I can strum a little bit. So it's kind of fun, kind of relaxing. And yeah.
1,000%, man. That's on the list of stuff that I'd like to be able to do, but there's a 0% chance I'm going to invest the time to learn how to do it. So good on you for doing it.
So it's on your list, you're saying?
Yeah, well, I've been cultivating a list of stuff that I'd just like to possess the knowledge of how to do it, but I'm just not going to invest the time. So
yeah, it's time investment. Like, in as you've got, yeah, it's, I hear you. Well,
who knows?
Someday. Yeah, someday. Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Life's a funny thing. So maybe we'll start a band and we'll join the CIA together. Who knows? Who knows? Probably not, but who knows, Jerry? All right. Well, you got me. Good job. What is top of mind for you right now?
Top of mind for me right now is, I think that we can never be too intentional with our lives. That's really what's top of mind for me. I work with a executive coaching team called Jaden Jones. And every 2 weeks I have a meeting with my coach, Lucas, and One of the things we're executing on this year and being very intentional about is, and that I've put in place for myself, is being very intentional about quality time with relationships, in particular with my family. So one thing I'm executing and have been executing for this year is just once a month with my wife, Laura, my son, Grady, and my daughter, Everly, is that I take the time and schedule one-on-one trips once every month. And so that's really what's on top of my mind outside of business. And the biggest thing in life is time flies, man. It just goes so quick. And if we're not, you know, wicked intentional of how we're spending our time, you know, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into years, and, you know, time can really get away from us. So,
isn't that the truth? And it's easy to not be intentional, easy to just go with the flow.
Yeah, very easy to just kind of relax and say, I'll do it someday. Like play that guitar, you know, it's kind of how we think. Like, so yeah, being very intentional, that's one thing as I prepared for this was really top of mind. And being intentional with your relationships. And for me personally, what I found myself in is I found myself kind of in the grind of, you know, everybody starts out, I think you go to college, you try to build a career, you try to build a family, and you're just in the kind of the day-to-day grind of trying to get somewhere. And then, you know, once the business was doing rather well and things were in place, it's like, the journey is the destination, right? You've got to really step back. And I found myself not just doing the little things that I actually enjoy to do myself personally, you know, go fishing, take some time to be outdoors. I just wasn't, you know, I was good at taking big trips. You know, if I'd schedule a week to go on my hunting trip or something like that, that was working well. But, you know, just like this last week, I called up two buddies and probably haven't done that for, I don't know, maybe years, and called them and, you know, during the day and said, hey, do you want to come over for pizza and wings and watch the National Basketball Championship game? And I'm glad we did. It was an awesome game between Houston and Florida. So just little things like that there's simple things to do. They're things that we really enjoy, and we overlook how powerful those things can be of just doing the things that we love. So, and they're not big things, you know, they're just little things, and that's what makes life fruitful, right? And if we don't lean into those things that we really enjoy and making life fruitful, it can get to be a drag, right? So I think you got to have that tank filled up, that energy tank filled up, when you do have challenges, that you can overcome them a little bit more easily. So, because we're going to have them.
Yeah. I love everything about that. I think that if you were to ask people walking around, like, what's most important to you? What really matters? They'd say stuff like spending time with family, spending time with friends. And this is me too. That's something I would have said. And then if somebody would have said, well, where's the evidence of that, George? I'd be like, oh, well, I am intending to do these things, but I am not intentionally doing them because I'm not scheduling it. So,
yeah, good stuff.
I mean, just without taking the time, it's kind of like, from my perspective, Jerry, it's like goal setting. We all know that we're supposed to have goals, but a very small percentage of us have actually written them down. And we all know we're supposed to know what's most important to us, but have we actually taken the time to think about it, write it down, and then do something to make them happen?
Yeah. I mean, back to my coach, I wrote those two goals, one personal and one professional, down at the beginning of the year. What are two goals you want to execute for this entire year? Because a lot of times people just, we get all these things that we want to do when we think about it and don't ever write them down. And there's this whole list, but I just did two, right? And it's incredible to me how the weeks and months go past, and my coach brings back up those two things that I've written down at the beginning of the year. And I've completely forgotten about them. You know, you just get back in the cadence of life and you're like, oh yeah, gotta, like, I didn't even remember that's what the one thing was. And it's just, it's not three or four or five things. It's one thing, and it's a challenge to remember. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah. So you got to keep, you got to write it down. You got to have somebody hold you accountable, and then you got to loop back to it. And you got to close the loop and see it through to completion. So all good stuff.
Yeah. That accountability piece, that's something that I think I know I naturally resist is external accountability, but I appreciate and understand that it's so valuable because left to my own devices, I'm probably not going to do all the things that I kind of told myself casually that I wanted to. But if there's somebody who said, hey, you said that this was important to you, what have you been doing to actually make it happen? Then that definitely helps me as well.
Yeah. And I think the cool part of that accountability is there's two things. I mean, you got to have that person in your life. I think all of us should have that person that really calls you out on your crap. But also, I think even more importantly, on the other end of that, they call you up. And what I mean by calling you up is that the best way I've ever heard this is a lot of times we need to hear as people that we need somebody else to believe in us before we even believe in ourselves. And when I heard that statement, I'm like, that's just so true because, you know, we all have our little person voice that says, I'm not good enough for, you know, our insecurities or whatever it is. And so, yeah, having that person to really lay the foundation of calling you up and, you know, understanding that little person voice as we talk about and that we all have, and just, you're never gonna really calm that little person down, but you just got to acknowledge that it's there, and then say, you know, it's going to be okay. Right. And most of the time that little person that's saying things to us, like we need to do this before that, or we can't do this because of that, or he's a liar. He's the biggest liar in our lives. He lies to us. There's nothing, you know, not a lot of truth to what our little person says. So yeah, accountability piece is hugely important. You know, somebody not only to call out your crap, but more importantly, call you up along the way.
I love that. I love the importance of calling you out. I've never heard calling you up, but it's perfect because I remember reading, I think it was How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie years ago. And one of his principles is give somebody a great reputation to live up to. And it's so true that I can look back at times in my life where somebody saw something in me and told me that I didn't see in myself, or the little voice or the little person you're talking about saying, who are you to want that? Or who are you to do that kind of a thing? So sometimes it does take somebody who can kind of call you up.
Yeah. And just help you recognize that voice that's saying those things and help you sort through the noise of going, is it true? And then you look at, you're like, oh, I guess it's not true. You know, it doesn't carry any weight to what it actually, our mind is telling us. So, and then, yeah, but then on the other end, there's sometimes you just need a shoe to the butt. Like, you got to do it, you know?
Yeah. So, well, that's certainly essential for me also. I am fully capable of talking myself into just about anything. So I am awesome at it, rationalizing why things are the way that they are, even though it's...
Yeah. Justifications.
Yeah. And that whole, the little person, I think that self-doubt is a very natural thing, and it's going to be with us throughout every stage of our lives. It's just whether or not we choose to act on and to behave based on what it's telling us, or if we say, you know what, no, that's not how it's going to go. I'm going to pursue the things that are important to me, and I'm going to have a great relationship with my kids and my friends, or I'm going to be financially successful, whatever the context might be.
Yeah. The other thing with that is you learn very quickly when that little person's getting loud. We think we're the only one. There's this isolation, like we're the only ones dealing with it. And if you start, like, especially there's powerful and getting in a mastermind that talks that same language of, you know, if one of the things I've learned through this myself is you start talking to other really, really successful people and they're all going through it. We're not isolated. It's like everybody has it. We all hear it. You know, it's all there. It's all present. And a lot of the fundamentals are the same. So just being able to connect with others that like that, me too. Like, yeah, I thought this was my deal. I didn't know anybody else went through this. And then it's like, everybody's like, we're all dealing with it. Yeah. So that's very, very powerful to just recognize that too, that we're not alone in this. You know, it's just a natural part of just being people, and having to work through those things. And that's where you got to really circle it back to that. That's what the focus is. If we kind of tie these things in closed loop here, is you've got to be intentional and do the things that you want to do, you know, and intentionality is very, very powerful.
I found that I think that I was waiting for permission. It's kind of like what you're talking about. Like, who am I to do these things? I think we both grew up in probably pretty small towns in the Midwest, and you start looking around, and you probably easy to talk yourself into a life that is, I don't want to say smaller, but just talk yourself into, who am I to want the things that I want? And it's all BS.
It is. And I say, yeah, absolutely right, George. I grew up in a town of 600 people, and I didn't live in the town. I lived 3 miles out of the town on a dairy farm. And yeah, so you talk about that, who am I, or why me? You know, it's, yeah, those are real things. And it's, again, it's a storyline that we tell ourselves that is absolutely untrue. There's no truth to it, right? So
you find that carries over to personal finance with the people you're working with?
Oh, yeah, like 100%. Our minds, this little person, right? Our minds are looking for four things that we're constantly searching for survival, right? Our mind wants to survive. And there's four things that people don't like. We don't like attention. Okay. We don't like struggle. We don't like uncertainty, and we don't like change. Okay. So, I mean, a lot of times the people I'm dealing with, are all the people we work with, are in or near retirement. So they're really dealing with this uncertainty and change. And a lot of the people like you and I just mentioned, they've come from small towns. They've come from humble beginnings, and they've come from struggle. They don't want to go back. And so, you know, where I find the little person for financial planning for retirees getting very, very loud is when people are trying to find this balance of when's enough enough. When I mean enough, I'm talking about enough money, right? Because they're worried about retiring too soon and running out of money and going back to this struggle that they had. And one of the things I say on a regular basis is there a risk of retiring too soon? And obviously there is. If we spend too much and we don't have enough money and the markets go bad, and what about inflation and what about taxation? And so all of these things, their little person just like going crazy, you know, it's overwhelming. And then we got this tariff talk and all the craziness going on in the world. And so, yeah, it comes up there. And the concept is, yeah, is it possible to retire too soon? Is there a risk of retiring too soon? And the answer is yes. But I challenge folks that have done really well for themselves and saved a lot and been responsible. I said, isn't there a bigger risk in retiring too late? Right? And they're like, yeah, there is, because we've all seen it. We don't get to do, we're not intentional. We don't take the time to do the things we want to do with the people we love, with the people we care about, with the things we love to do. And we hear the stories of never get to enjoy the fruits of the labor, never get to collect the first Social Security check, only got to collect one Social Security check. And so I've had that experience personally with my own father. You know, he was in a tragic car accident at 57, and you have something that traumatic hits you personally, and it changes you. It changes how you step up and lead others that are having some of these, you know, very, very strong insecurities about how they want to live and what they want to do and how they want to plan their finances. So,
well, I'm sorry about your dad.
yeah, thank you, George.
What powerful questions right there. What powerful questions to ask. Is it, you know, you're worried about retiring too soon, but what about What about retiring too late and just giving people the opportunity to think that through and to have that sounding board to say, yeah, those are things that are on my mind. Let's actually go to those places and go through the scenario. What would happen? And then more importantly, how can we plan accordingly?
Yeah, 100%. And I think you got to start with the right questions, ask the right questions, and be, a hyper realist. You just got to be very real about how things actually are. And the other concept there is there's I tell folks there's always enough and there's never enough. A lot of people that have done good in savings, if they have $1 million net worth, they're in the top 1% of wealth holders in the entire world. So think about that. If you've built up $1 million of net worth, and a lot of times people have $1 million just in their investments, if not $1.5 million, that's pretty common in today's world. But yet it's very hard for our little person to get over the fact of the reality that we're in the top 1% of wealth holders at that level in the world. So you've got enough, right? There's whatever, how many ever billion other people on planet Earth that don't have nearly that much, that's not the limiting factor in your life. And that's a concept that I don't really get to talk much about in client meetings just because of sake of brevity and time and execution, but I can speak to it here. Is in a natural environment, for example, a tree in a forest, the limiting factor, you got to have nutrients, you got to have water, you got to have sunlight. And whichever one of those is the least in that environment, that's going to be the limiting factor to that growth. So once people have enough money, money's not the limiting factor anymore, right? So that's where people, money's important, but as long as it's not the limiting factor, there's enough, you can do what you want to do. And so it's always this balance of when's enough enough? And we're always trying to have this balance of, geez, should I, retire now and spend and enjoy, or should I be frugal and wait and retire later and save for later? And that's a question that's deeply personal. It's got to be asked, and everybody's got to deal with that. Like, you've got to answer it for yourself, George. I got to answer it for myself. And that's the tough question. When's this balance or enough enough?
That is the question right there. So, limiting factor. I think what a wonderful way to think about that. And I love the tree, the tree analogy or metaphor. So common ones are the limiting factor could be that little voice that's telling us, or.
A lot of, yeah. Well, I think the point of that is, and I was not in the CIA. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I have 2 degrees in urban forestry. So I was a certified arborist before I was a certified financial planner. So that's a lot of the concepts that I learned: time value of forests and carry over to time value of money, sustainability, things we learn in forestry. A lot of those concepts carry over to financial planning, stewardship. Just being good stewards of the money and the wealth that we do have. So there's a lot of crossover fundamentals. You wouldn't think there are, but there actually are quite a few. So the limiting factor, what I'm talking about more so there, is just money itself. So if you don't, if you're like, if money's very like low and you don't have enough saved up, and money becomes a limiting factor of really having a lot of opportunities and living where you want to live and doing the things you want to do. So what I'm specifically talking about there of money is, money's not the end in and of itself. Nobody's ever came to me and said, my goal is to build this pot of money as big as we possibly can. That's never been the end goal. It's always been something, and this is, I've got thousands of reps and conversations at almost 2 decades of doing this, and it's always something like, I want to be able to have enough to do the things I want to do, something along those lines. And so money is not the end in and of itself. We just have to get the money box checked so it's no longer the limiting factor. Okay? So it's nothing a limiting factor as far as internally with finances. The concept there is more on, once the money box is checked and it's no longer the limiting factor, that's what people are really looking for. So they can just go travel and take the cruise and go on sewing cruises. I didn't know there was things as sewing cruises. Did you, George?
No.
Yeah,
So
these
glad to hear that
ladies,
there is.
they're sewing cruises and knitting cruises, and they sew for out at sea and stop at the port and load up on more supplies and sew again. And it's one thing I always teach in the classes is for whatever reason, people retire and they buy tractors and sewing machines. The most expensive sewing machine we've ever funded was $30,000. And people say, well, that's not a sewing machine, that's an embroidery machine. I don't know that much. I
Oh.
just have my grandma's 1940s, little flip up green machine. That's my knowledge on sewing machines. But yeah, that's what the limiting factor is. People are not looking to, and the end result isn't saying, hey, I want to grow as much wealth as I can. It's having enough money, so it's not the limiting factor to do the things I want to do.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for elaborating on that. And thank you for introducing me to sewing cruises because now I simply must learn more. What a time to be alive. There's Star Trek cruises, there's sewing cruises. I bet we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, and the lady that I know that introduced me to that, I've yet to, she's either there now or returned recently, and I haven't closed the loop with her, so I'm curious to know all about that, how it went, and
Yeah, I have so many questions. So we'll have to save that for part two. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
So the website's the easiest way, northernwaywm.com. So it's just Northern Way, WAY, and then WM stands for wealth management. So northernwaywm.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jerry your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Get in touch, learn more about Jerry and what he's working on at northernwaywm.com. I'll link all the other spots in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Jerry.
Thank you.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are, so act accordingly.